You can't change the way I feel about you. That is like almost spirit, right? Spirit, if I can say spirit is talking, right? But that is exactly what it is. I mean, it is what it is. And from the perspective of love, you can't change that. It is, right? Judy, I have to give you full credit for all the back work that you do over all these years in choosing the books that we study from, in finding the topics and making them interesting. You are the engine behind it all as well, and full credit to you. Thank you so much for keeping us energized and create up and reading up and that kind of stuff. So really appreciate it. All right. So from the concept of how to use a power greater than you are, it has been very interesting process for me as we as I moved in from as I started doing like more studies on one when I read something, I would cross read it with something else, and I would find ways to try to figure out how does this make sense to me, right? And I told you all, I think it's last 2 weeks, that I had just come from a retreat, and the retreat was run, the retreat master was Reverend Trish, but it's now the new senior minister, Reverend Jackie Labar, who literally put it on, because she's now in, she's now taking over CSL Metro as the new minister. So she was, I can't remember the word. She literally became senior minister. I don't think the word is initiated, but there is installation. Thank you. She was installed the last 2 weeks, and was a beautiful ceremony and everything. But a part of that process was that within the retreat, we had to spend like a half of a day and all night in silence. And I've never had that before. I've always heard of it, and I'm like, I don't think these people. So we couldn't even, use the phone as such, because that is like communicating with the ethers in a sense, right? So it was very, very, very interesting. And for some reason, I had already had like a chip on my shoulders in a sense, where, and some of you may have noticed, wasn't showing up, I wasn't being myself. And it was not only with these people who I know have would love me unconditionally. There was no reason to not show up, right? But I guess the gayness kind of kicked in, and I went into my own space. So if it's happening here, it's happening everywhere, right? And so I think there was, like, in my estimation, like a kind of a collapse and kind of a lost a sense of direction, and maybe lost a sense of who I am. And this time around, because it happened once before, maybe about 17 years ago, this happened before. And I just didn't care. I really didn't care. However, I don't know what it is why I signed up for this retreat, and I just went ahead, and maybe I just saw the PayPal thing just popped up, and I just knew I had some money in my account, and I just paid for it. So from there, obviously I went in with a chip in on my shoulders because I'm like, I am who I am. I'm God showing up. What? So we had that, the first day of the retreat, there was this pushback. And I was just so obnoxious. I don't know why I behaved like that. But I was very obnoxious with pushing back and, saying what I need to say and this kind of stuff. And then that was the evening that we could not speak after that. So I'm like, Reverend Trish, what, maybe she and Dan has some problems and she don't want to talk to him, so she's making all of us not talk, right? But obviously I doubt that was the case, right? So I honored it. And the person who I had a room, who was my roommate, was also a minister. And I'm like, hell, why? Because if even if I am trying to kind of be with myself, now I have to go and share a room with someone. So as a result of that, I preferred not to go in early. So I stayed in my car, and for the first time, in a sense, I'm like, okay, I'm really, really going to be honest, and I'm not going to honor the idea of using my phone, because obviously it was just between me and me, right? Nobody else knew. But I wanted to honor what was going to happen. And it was a very interesting thing. Even though I stayed a lot by myself, I literally questioned spirit a whole lot. I questioned God. I was obnoxious too, and I am, I am consciousness, right? And consciousness is consciousness, I know who I am in a sense. And so there was this personal kind of conversation going on with God. And so when I heard the words, you can choose a different emotion, I'm like, who the heck said that, right? You can choose differently. Well, I am consciousness. I don't have to choose. I could be just who I am. And the voice said, well, it seems as though you're not happy where you are. And so if you're not, you just have the invitation to choose again, because what is conscious? It is very, what's the word? In you can it moves according to what it is that your desire. It will shift shape for you, right? So if you are happy with being, I'm going to use my word, crotchety, right? You can stay like that. But if you want something different, if you want a different outcome, if you want this weekend to be different and you move into a different space, then choose again. Because it will create anything you put in there. And you are, consciousness is always creative. God is always creative. The infinite is always creative. And that's what it is, right? And it's always present within us. And so from that perspective of the spirit is the power which knows itself. It's part of the ideas of power, right? That consciousness is what knows itself, spirit knows itself, it chooses, it creates, and it expresses. And it is personal to all who believe. And so that was a hard hit, And so in my head, I am kind of thinking, I'm practitioner. Oh, by the way, I have been practitioner emeritus since last year, October. I forgot to tell you all. So I am, but we talked, and you're a practitioner. And so yes, I said I am a practitioner, and I know our teaching, and so that kind of went on back and forth until I heard, well, you are the one, you are the I am. And I said, I am the I am. And I didn't say it in a questioning way, I just repeated it. And oh my goodness, it literally, I mean, I felt like I was overtaken with like awakeness. I don't know what that might feel like, but it was just like a whole form of invisible consciousness kind of thing. Like I was it. I became that. I became like the world in a sense. I was that big. And yet I know I was sitting in my car, right? And so knowing that consciousness is absolutely aware, it is intelligent, it is creative, I knew that I could not be the same after that, right? I knew that that was the answers that I was really seeking from that space. So when I heard you are consciousness, I know it was not just me as a body, right? I know it was not my personality because I was being bratty. But when I heard the I am, oh my goodness, it filled me up. Right? And it has been like that, in the space of just being in that loving, that space of truth, that space of knowing and speaking. And because of all of that now, I have literally been very, very cautious about what I speak of when I say I am. Excuse me. Because this is part of, Joel Goldsmith, I started reading in his book, God, the Substance of All Form, right? Which says it's total infinity. In the beginning was God, right? In the beginning was God. In the beginning, spirit or intelligence only, no manifest universe, right? And it's from that invisible form where the I am literally takes form, right? Because we call our beingness into existence. And so, knowing from our, the science of mind, teaching or theoretical aspect of our what we believe, we know that that God is I am in a sense, right? And if God is intelligence, then I am that, right? All life within me or all life around me has to be what is being called forth, right? So I really started having a different perception, perspective as to what it is that I am putting out there. And so from that space, I moved into reading about Ernest Holmes, in the chapter How to Use a Power, he said, no one has ever, well, I'm going to start a little higher. We are three-dimensional people living in a four-dimensional world. They have proven at Duke University, that we can reproduce the activities of the five physical senses without using the organs of the senses. They have proven we can think without the brain. It will prove very helpful to many of us, as I am sure. That's, he was trying to make a joke there. So they have proven theoretically that you can get along without this body and still be you. No one has ever seen some other person. We feel him. No one ever saw love or life or truth or beauty. Yet they are there. We are three-dimensional beings living in a four-dimensional world which governs the three dimensions. In the hen, somewhere is the egg. In the egg, somewhere is the chicken. We do not have to try to explain the inexplicable. That is why Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a child. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. A child like mine doesn't mean childish, just simple, childlike, and believing. And that's what I felt like with my own self prior, with that type of conversation. And when it came to, okay, no, I didn't know about the childlikeness, but I felt like I was being childlikish and bratish, sort of. And so when it came to the point of, well, you can choose again, you can change your mind, you can choose a different emotion, I kind of thought about it. Do I want to choose a different emotion? Because this kind of feels very peppy. This is, I really don't matter if people feel disagreeable around me or I am disagreeable around them. But then I said, and this is going back to my Bible days, right? To him that knows to do good and do it is not, to him it is sin. And so obviously sin for me would not have, it has not changed. I still feel that, we are where and who we are, and that, at no point that sin becomes truth if I know how to explain sin to anyone else, right? So I know that we are from the perspective of our own idea of purity, our own idea of love, our own idea of all the goodness, all the graciousness, all, I know that is who we are. And so there is no idea of sin contaminating, quote unquote, the life that I am. So that to me was very strong in a sense. And so from that perspective, I said to myself, it has to be, if it has to be, it's up to me, right? And so what is it that I am putting out there? Knowing that there is just the one, knowing that it is just the idea of who am I, whether I am moving into a space of power or whether I choose to stay in a place of discomfort, right? And so, how to use a power that is greater than I am, I choose. I chose to be creative. And I chose to go back into what I believe. Even at that time that I wasn't fully grasping everything that I needed to know, I knew spiritual mind treatment, right? And so I moved into that space of knowing oneness, of knowing God as all there is, and knowing the truth behind it all. And so I literally moved into to the space of I am that I am, right? And I chose, I moved, I responded to the idea of that I am, and that I am is extremely creative. And so it started that night. I went to the hotel, and thankfully, my person who I was sharing with, she was asleep. But then, we talked the next morning because she was worried, and she tried to call me twice, but I didn't answer. Right? And so I'm sure she was very worried. So I obviously apologized to her, but I also had to tell her that I think if I had even answered the her call, that I would have that it would not have been maybe the best thing for me to do at that time. I'm so glad I didn't answer it, because I was able to literally be in that consciousness of knowing and talking and having a conversation and feeling guided and feeling like there is downloads of information about intention and centering. And then the breath came in. It's like, okay, stop, stop. And you know how to breathe, right? I am like, yeah, I. So I, you know, I did the it said, okay, so I want you to take a really deep breath, breathe in through your nose, and hold that breath. And so I did that. And then it was like, do it again and do it again. So I did it maybe about 5 or 6 times. And then the last time it was like, whoa, it felt like everything went up and it stayed around this area. And that is how I moved into a place of sensing it, feeling it, knowing it. That power that I read about, hear about, and sometimes manifest and teach about, right? That all of that power in the universe was like right here. And I have been on a beautiful journey, sort of since then, right? And being very, very cautious about how I use my I am, knowing that God is I am, and God responds to our prayer, or God responds even to conversations that you may not typically think it's not it's productive conversations. But those conversations are also, if you are beginning to use words like I am, you are literally causing the universe to stand attention and waiting on you to know what is the next step. All right. So we are, there is a power that is greater than us, yet that presence or that power is also realized in us. So it's power meeting power in a sense, right? So resting in that idea of power, but resting in the idea of peace, of awakening, of maybe truth, right? So with that, there were so many little bits and pieces here, but I'm going to end with this. It says, there is a power in the universe greater than we are. There is an intelligence acting as law that receives the impress of our thoughts as we think them. As we think them, it is so subtle, okay? So we got to be careful with our thoughts. It is creative, and it always tends to create for us the conditions we think about and accept. And if we wish to help someone, when we identify the person we wish to help, we wish to help with what we call our treatment or meditation, it will be for that person. Somebody might say, I don't believe it. Well, I don't care. That's Ernest Holmes. It is none of my business. Somebody might say, it is ridiculous. That doesn't bother me any. The first steam-driven boat that crossed the Atlantic carried on it a scientific treatise on why it couldn't be done. We don't have to worry about whether somebody believes it. Who cares? Our only concern should be, do we know what we believe? Are we certain of what we believe? Can we prove what we believe? Demonstrate it. And we can. And that is that, right? So these are some powerful words. It sounds very simplistic, right? But, we are the creators on every moment, every minute of the day, we are creating. And so if we are creating, let's bring into our lives the things that empower us, the things that present to us, the things that we are affirming, the presence within us. What is it that this is, this one presence within? What is it that, how do we want to express ourselves? How do we want to show up, right? And so as in closing, we are going to do something similar, as we close the circle. But until then, I'll explain. But for right now, just see yourself as love, but love that's surrounding us all. And even bigger, you can carry that, you can carry it out as big as you want because you are the creator. How big do you want it? How much of an experience in this power, in this idea of who you are, in your idea of life, how big do you want it? Or how mediocre do you want it? Or, what is it that you would like to see? So from now on, because you heard this from me, you can never unhear it unless you literally blind deafen it out. But from now on, just know that you truly create the experiences in our lives. And I am the first one to push back on that, for how many years now with my daughter. How on earth could she create that, or whoever it is, right? But I don't see it like that. I just see it as an experience, and it has happened to her. And so, do I resonate with it? No, I don't. How do I move into a different space? Well, before we go, this is the last thing. Yesterday, because I am infused so much with, I am that, and I call whatever name. So my daughter, I heard her crying yesterday, and I'm in my room, she's in hers. And so I got up, and obviously she's in pain, and she doesn't really ask me to do anything, but she said, Mom, please rub my leg. Please, please, it's so painful. And at that time, I just stopped and I said, I am a healer. I am God expressing as removal of pain. I am that one presence, one power that is surrounding my daughter right now in love, and I am going to heal her. And so I started rubbing her leg, and then all of a sudden, no, girl, you're rubbing too slow. You're rubbing too slow. So I moved up, and then I stopped. And the way I put my hand, it was under. So this is her foot. That's here, her foot. And I put my hand here, and I just squeezed it. And my daughter said, "I'm going to bed. There's no pain. There's no pain." And I have been having pain for the last hour. And I'm like, "Seriously?" She said, "Yes. It's like you just healed me, right?" And so from that perspective, now she did have pain after because I tried to recreate it, but I came in with like an abundance of, I am one with what is being called forth, and I'm calling forth healing, which means free of pain for her. And it happened instantaneously as soon as I readjusted my thought. So I know it sounds a little bit out there, but it was extremely, extremely encouraging for me to literally see that and for her to hear. She rolls her eyes when we talk about this and that. And when she said, "Mom, what you did, I can fall asleep now." And she fell asleep for a while, right? I never got back up to figure out whether she got pain or not, but it was amazing. So it's just a little glimpse of who we are and how we show up and what we call into our lives. Thank you so much, everybody.